Hi, I'm Candace Michelle, and this is Our Community. You know, one of the delightful things about our area is the sheer number of talented artists, writers, musicians, and songwriters that we have in our midst. And just when you think you've heard all of them, you run across someone else. Such was the case with my guests today, Matt Stump and Teal Mace. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Candace. Glad to be here.
It's good to see you guys. So, Matt, I got to know you through technical stuff at the station.
Sure.
And technical stuff is about as good as I can explain it, because anything technical is already out of my expertise.
I don't think that's true, Candace. I've worked with you a little bit.
So tell me, you know, what you've done at the station and stuff. What kind of stuff do you do here?
So primarily, I've done some recording as we're doing now, sort of behind the scenes, and then I do video editing. I'm also trying to help out with some other projects here at the station where we're trying to go live and run our own cloud server and those sort of things, all kind of techie fun stuff.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Yeah, yeah. So most of us have had a life before we end up in Brookings. Some of us haven't, right? But most of us have had a life before we get here. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yours. What, where did you grow up, that kind of stuff?
So I grew up in the greater Sacramento area, lived in Grass Valley, Lake Tahoe even for a short period of time.
Tahoe is so beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. My grandparents had a cabin up there, so I got to live for free, essentially, and work at the casinos. It was
during the winters or the summers?
Primarily summers. We would go up there to ski, but we usually didn't stay more than a day or so. But I spent my summers in Lake Tahoe, actually.
So skiing. You did that okay? You were good at skiing?
Well, until I broke my my leg, but yeah, usually I was okay.
Okay, breaking the leg might be a problem.
I've broken pretty much every bone in my body at this point, so you know.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
I went skiing one time, and I was in my early 30s, and so I was in fairly good shape, you know. I could not stay on my skis. I spent the day on my butt, having fallen, you know, innumerable times. And then we got home, and we lived upstairs in the upstairs apartment. I was so sore, I couldn't walk up the stairs. I had to go butt first up the stairs. Never again.
Yeah, I was actually on the ski team when I was in high school. So not that I was good enough to be on the ski team. I'd usually disqualify on the slope at some point, and then I'd go off and do my own thing for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but wow.
I know, that was yeah, fun.
Lake Tahoe, I can't think of a prettier place.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay, so Lake Tahoe, and then what?
Well, then I, you know, got married and had kids and got divorced. I've got two kids.
Okay.
I've got a 27-year-old and a 13-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. And then...
Well, I went to work for a company called Level One Communications. That was my first tech job. And we were a skyrocketing young company doing what they call fabless semiconductor chip manufacturing.
What?
Yeah, we made chips, communication chips, like for routers and hubs and modems and that kind of thing. But we didn't have a fab. We sent all of our stuff over to Taiwan.
Fabrication.
Right.
Fabrication.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay. I can catch up.
Yeah. Tech geek here.
Yeah, techie. So was this during kind of that whole boom period?
Yeah, was pre-2000.
Yeah.
And then right around to the year 2000, Intel bought us.
Ooh,
bought the company I was working for. And so by de facto, I became working for Intel, which was...
Right. That must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And it was a really good deal because our stock, you know, went from $15 a share to $80 a share. So we were all...
And that's how they paid... people a lot.
We used to get paid in options. Yeah.
Yes.
And so I probably made half my salary in options for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I was
excellent.
Living fast and free for a while.
Of course. You know, anybody who was in that industry during that time, that's the way they were living. Yep, I mean, those companies, even if they were just little startups, took amazing care of their employees.
Yeah, and then I think in, what was it, 2005 or somewhere around there, the tech...
Bottom fell out.
Yep. I think Intel stock went from like $80 a share to $25 a share.
Ouch.
And that was, And so with that, you know, some of our projects got canceled, that sort of thing. And they offered me to come to work up in Hillsboro, Oregon. And I said, I don't really want to live in Oregon. So I turned it down. And then a year later, I got laid off.
Oh.
And so I tested with the state of California. And about a year after that, I came to work at Pelican Bay as a IT guy in the healthcare
side. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big jump.
In
environment. I mean,
believe it or not, Intel was more stressful than working at Pelican Bay.
Why?
Because their demands were just so high.
Right.
When it was, you know, every 6 months we'd have a product release, and when it was crunch time on that product release, you know, I'd come out of the lab at 8 o'clock at night, and half the parking lot would still be filled with cars because everybody was there getting
Exactly.
And then it was feast or famine, you know, and then after the product release, you know, I would go to the movies for 2 hours at lunch because we didn't really have much else to do. So, and that's kind of stressful when, you know, running those kind of.
Absolutely is.
And then not having work all of a sudden was even stressful.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Teal, what about you? Where did you grow up?
I was born here.
No.
Yep.
Brookings?
Well, not in a car or anywhere, but in Crescent City.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, no home birth, but I grew up here. I have lived down in New Mexico quite a bit and Montana too, but I always end up back.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So Brookings must have looked very different. I mean, you've seen some changes.
Yeah, definitely.
Pre-Fred Meyer, I take it.
Was Freddie's here?
Yeah, Fred Meyer was here.
Okay.
So
what did Chitco Avenue look like? Was it as populated as it is now?
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Huh.
I mean, it's changed even just this last week. It looks... it does.
Yeah, we've added a thousand.
Yeah.
Burger King.
Yeah, it's bringing everybody. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to school here?
I did, yeah.
Brookings High?
I did. I got my GED when I was 15, so I went for a minute, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
I
ended up down in New Mexico going to Aveda for cosmetology.
Okay.
So I'm a hairdresser now here in town.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you grew up here, you went away to New Mexico and Montana?
Well, came back here, went back to New Mexico, back here, Montana, back here.
Okay.
Sounds like me.
Yeah.
So do you feel like this is where you want to be, or do you still have...
Oh, I love it here. Yeah. It's my favorite place I've ever been.
Yeah.
I like to travel a lot. I mean, I go all the time, anywhere in the West, really. I take trips, and I like this as a home base, you know? Always come back and...
You know, I've noticed that about this town, where the young people that grow up here seem to want to go out and experience the world a little bit, and then they usually come back. I don't know why you'd ever want to leave this place. I certainly don't.
Well, no, I can definitely understand wanting to experience the world. There is a lot out there, and some of it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up in suburbs, but it was outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So Pittsburgh was a big city. I mean, not like New York, but it was a city. And there are things that you have available to you in cities that you don't have in, you know, a town like Brookings. I mean, malls, for God's sake. You know, I mean, just for one thing, right?
I don't miss malls.
Right. No, I don't miss them now, but I'm really glad that I had the experience.
I don't really like to visit cities. I don't miss all that. And I feel like you spend so much money, and it's just so busy, and it's crazy. I visit a lot of small towns, smaller places, but, you know, in a city, I don't think I've ever felt more alone than yeah. in a city, you know?
Yeah, it's very anonymous.
Yeah, just everybody kind of keeps to themselves and does their own thing. And smaller towns, people are willing to talk to you and hang out and take you to show you things. And it's so different.
I've never met more people that I consider my friends since I lived in Brookings.
I know, I mean, it's amazing.
It's incredible.
To me, it's amazing because this is the first small town I've ever lived in. Yes. So the way people just are friendly and talk to you is, and it's so the way I want to be, you know, that when you are in a place where people do that, it's like, oh, I'll never leave.
There's also that small town karma, I call it, where if you, you know, say something rude or nasty to somebody, you'll end up seeing that person at least three times on a Saturday at Fred Meyer's.
Right, you have to handle it. So.
It is the law of three, yes.
And I had that experience, actually, when I first got here. I was trying to cash a check, and I had moved up here right after my 40th birthday, and my driver's license had just expired, and I went over to Freddy's and just threw a complete tantrum because I couldn't get this check cashed, and you know, and they just said, no, we can't do it, and rightly so, that's, you know...
Right.
The law. And so I went across the street to Ray's, and they were like, yeah, sure. Yeah. But like, still to this day, the gal that I threw a fit in front of, I see her almost every time I walk into Freddy's, and I'm just like, oh gosh, I wish I hadn't done that.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, shut up.
So how did you then come to Brookings? It must have been because you were at Pelican Bay, right?
Yep, exactly. It was funny. I had interviewed at several, unfortunately at that time, and I don't know if it's still the case, but prisons were the biggest hiring
employer
in California. And and I had done an interview at Ironwood Prison in Blythe, California. And I've ridden through Blythe on my motorcycle. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't even want to put my feet down there. And, you know, and it's one of those places where the summer, the average temperature is like 130 degrees or something ridiculous. And so I didn't go down there for the interview. It was just a phone interview. And I had my daughter at the time. And it was just sort of crazy how awful the interview went. And I just sort of wrote it off thinking, well, they're never going to hire me. I didn't do any follow-up, you know, write them a letter or anything saying thank you for the interview, which I normally did. And then Pelican Bay called me and they said, well, you know, we can do a phone interview, but we'd rather have you up. And I thought, you know, I love the North Coast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I put my dog in the car and headed up, and the interview just went fantastic. Mm-hmm. I got along with everybody. And on my way home, the people that I put as references were calling me saying, I think you got the job. And sure enough, like 2 days later, they called me and said, hey, you got the job. The following Monday, Ironwood called me back and said, hey, you got the job. And I said, nope.
Thanks, but no thanks.
I think I'd rather live in on the North Coast.
Yes. Yeah. There is something about this area. I mean, it's beautiful, obviously. You know, you could just...
Yeah, I wonder if Teal has that same perspective living in other areas. I don't know. To me, like, this is just the best.
Oh, we have everything.
Yeah,
like,
we have everything. You can go places, you know, where there's really good, I mean, snow or anything like that. But here, you know, we have rivers, ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can travel to a city if we want one. Mm-hmm. We can travel up the hills into the snow, but you don't have to, you know, there's no extreme weather here.
Right.
Other than... Yeah.
So other than
rain.
The wind blowing.
Other than yesterday.
And the trees falling down.
Yeah, today, for instance.
I know. But really, you know, it's so beautiful. We have anything you want, you can do here.
And I've never seen anything quite like what we have here. Mm-mm. I mean, to be able to walk in Redwood, literally to walk amongst them is... It's just kind of a majestic experience.
Yeah, I start to get a little funky if I haven't either gone to the, you know, Redwood Trail or onto the one of the coastal trails, because you know, it's just sort of that that medicinal nature, you know, that if I don't if I haven't taken a hike in 2 weeks, then I start to get a little funky.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say that there's negative ions or something when you're next to the ocean, the waves crashing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I know that being next to the ocean is someplace that I need to be for, yeah. for my soul. I just need
I'm
to
the
be
same way. I don't think
ocean.
I can ever not live next to the
yeah,
ocean again.
The first time I left, when I moved over, we were in Albuquerque. So it was not only like huge culture shock, you know, in every way of being a big city, but the weirdest part for me was I've lived my whole life here. And so half of my entire world is ocean. The whole yes. half, my whole left yes. side is constantly yes. covered. You know, it's water. It's yes. gone. There's nothing. And then I move in inland and I go to Albuquerque and I was trying to explain it to people while I was so anxious and stressed out. I'm like, you're completely surrounded yes. at all angles. You are surrounded. It's open. Everything. There's nothing like I'm used to half of that. Yep. You know, whatever's going on over here, you yep. know, that is ocean. It's open. It's yep. fine. You
yep.
know?
Yep. It's absolutely true.
So
I feel exactly the same way. And I grew up
trapped.
Inland, you know, mm-hmm. surrounded by mountains kind
right.
of thing.
Right. You get here
so.
And it opens up half oh, your yeah. world no, is open.
Seriously. I yeah. just feel so less mm-hmm. stressed because there's just space. It's just, and I right. don't like vertical space.
Right.
You know, it's like, that's what the thing about cities I really don't mm-hmm. like is everything is vertical. So, you know, you're like, and it's so horizontal here.
Right.
You know, just really, I really like that.
Yeah.
So, Matt, how did you get involved with KCIW? How did that happen to you, poor boy?
That happened because they had an open mic, and I went, and I knew I've known the people at the coffee shop for several years, and uh-huh. actually the previous owners before that and stuff. And so they actually said, you know, you need to come to this open mic for the radio station. I wasn't in town when the radio station started, so I honestly wasn't aware of it uh-huh. until the open mic, and Linda, bless her heart, you know, is she signed me in and she said, would you be interested in helping out with the radio station, becoming a volunteer? And what could I say? But yeah.
Yeah.
and you know, the other thing is this kind of combines my love of music and electronics and technology.
In a very interesting way.
In a very interesting way that
yeah.
I, yeah. So it's this sort of perfect marriage for me of, you know, and I've got to learn a lot, you know, through doing editing. I've made every mistake I think possible.
Good, good. Because once you've made the mistake once and learned, you're good.
Well, yeah. usually with most people, but I like
me,
to make
yeah,
it a couple of times, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. but yeah, so it's been just a great experience for me volunteering at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, when I'm not necessarily feeling the best about where I am in this world, when I wake up in the morning and I have something to do here, that's what I'm looking forward
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it definitely gives you not only a place to be, but people to be with who
that's the other half
remarkable.
Of it.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I've been in a lot of organizations over my life, and this one, the people in it are just, they're remarkable people.
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone here is instantly sort of welcomed me into the, mm-hmm. the family here, which mm-hmm. is what I consider it. So, yeah, it's been.
And absolutely delightful. Take you under their wing,
yeah.
you know. I mean, it's, you know, and speaking of Linda, Linda and she had Tom in tow. I have to say that. They accosted me at Fred Meyer's. And this was, I think, the beginning of 2014. And Linda walked up to me and said, I know you. You were on the television station.
I know you from the TV, too. Actually.
Okay. And I, you know, so guilty. I was. I was with the TV station. She said, would you like to, you know, join the radio station? And, you know, I thought, well, why not? That sounds like a great idea. So I figured I'd, you know, do a couple of little things kind of thing. Well, you know, within 3 weeks, I was on the board, and, you know, I mean, it's, and that's the way the station
happens,
is.
Yeah.
It kind of just pulls you right in. Yeah. But it's great. You know, I love working with the people that are here. It's just fabulous.
Absolutely.
So tell me about music, Teal. That's your love, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How'd you get started? What happened to you?
I played guitar. Somebody taught me when I was 13. You know, first love.
Mm-hmm.
And I just mainly played guitar. I had no idea, actually, that I could sing at all until a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Somebody complimented me. How is that possible?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
Because I've heard you and OMG.
Well, I followed that thing that, and I think, honestly, so many people do, that you're raised and everyone around you goes, I can't sing. And mm-hmm. everyone did that. And somebody had said, you know, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And mm-hmm. for some reason I was like, oh yeah. And so I'd always kind of repeat these things too.
Really?
And I had no idea. And I actually have quite a few friends that I watch them do that same thing mm-hmm. and they've done it growing up. And mm-hmm. I'm like, the only difference is thinking that you can. It's, mm-hmm. you know, there are some people that their tone, they can't.
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of people, you literally don't know that you can. No one's ever told you. Like,
right.
So no one did.
There's definitely some natural tonal talent with you, though, that, like, I'll never have with my voice, period. Right.
I mean, you do sing.
I do sing, but sing I can't sing like you.
Well, you don't have her voice.
But you can sing, you know? Right. You can. Right. I think a lot of people can sing a lot more than they think they can, especially like with kids, you know? Yeah, there's, I'm sure, a natural ability, but we used to take these big long road trips to Montana every summer, my family, and my mom would just play every Sarah McLachlan album back to back. You know, it's like a 3-day trip. Yeah.
So I understand.
And she was like, she had such a range and like such
Yeah.
So we would just, you know, we were always singing in the car. My mom was always singing. She has a great voice, you know, like church voice, really beautiful. And my sister was an amazing, still is, amazing singer. And we just always try to match Sarah McLachlan, you know?
Yes.
And then we try to match the Cranberries. And then we try to, you know.
Yes.
So then we just kind of picked it apart. But I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of kids, you know, if you raise them in that, you sing in the car, you all sing, you know, you point out differences, you know, you stop somebody if they're not hearing the note. Or
yeah.
I feel like a lot of people could really sing, you know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like a practice a lot.
No, I agree. I mean, the voice is an instrument. Mm-hmm. And like every instrument, if you don't practice...
Oh, man.
It won't do what you want it to do because mm-hmm. you haven't practiced.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know? And I noticed that if I don't sing for a while, my voice is like, it's tired and scratchy and, you know, because it hasn't been exercised.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, you do. You have to do that.
I thought I had lost, you know, my ability to sing so many songs at one point. But I just, it had been so long since I did sing because I sing in the car.
Like yes.
Anytime, if you pass me, I am full. It's a concert.
Good for you.
I'm on stage. I'm belting.
You could probably hear
me with my windows up.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, you know, was dating somebody and just was uncomfortable singing around them. I would mm-hmm. not do it. So I don't sing in the car anymore, you know. And mm-hmm. so this whole year had gone by and I suddenly, like, I couldn't sing anything. I was like, you know, horrible, you know, not able to hit notes. I couldn't mm-hmm. breathe properly. You know, but it was just that I had spent that time not singing, you know. And my oldest sister, she hadn't sang for like 8 or 9 years for the same reason. She got mm-hmm. married and, you know, she didn't sing for years in the car. You know, that's the only time you're kind of by yourself.
Right.
She didn't sing at home. She had this family.
Is Shelby still married?
Nope, Rainey, my older sister.
Okay. I haven't met her.
I guess they weren't engaged.
Okay.
Yeah. She, but they, yeah, she'd stopped singing, but she had the most amazing voice out of any of us. I mean, just so naturally good. She's always been amazing. And it's just so unpracticed.
It's such a disservice when people tell you, when they make you feel funny about mm-hmm. singing, it's such a disservice.
Oh my gosh.
You know? And we internalize it and think, oh my God, I can't sing. And, you know, that didn't sound good. And I guess I just won't sing in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
and that's a lot of it. It's just not, if you don't commit to a note, if you're unsure, if you're insecure about it, you're feeling.
I think that's probably my biggest problem.
You just have to have some confidence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you've seen on days where I'm not feeling good. I'm just like, you know, I can't even hit a proper note. Just like
your worst day of singing, Teal, is still better than my best day.
Well, of course, because she's actually practiced. She uses her instrument all the time. Yeah.
Right.
No, that's.
But yeah, it's most. I mean, a lot of it has got to be confidence.
And no, just, I agree. I agree. There are three girls in my family. I'm the oldest, and then my youngest sister has a voice very similar to mine. Mm-hmm. So when we sing, especially if we sing harmony or whatever, we sound like the same voice.
Cool.
It is cool. My middle sister, however, just never believed that she could sing. She just never, she never had the confidence to do it. She never believed she could. And I don't think it's true. I think she can sing.
Oh, I'm sure. Right? But you girls were always doing it.
Right.
Probably, you know, you feel insecure and you're like, you know what? I can't. I did that my whole life too.
Yep. And it's crazy because singing, what an expression singing is. I mean, it's just, right? If you sing, I mean, it's like the energy that singing.
Right. You take your guts and you put them out for everyone else to see them and hear them and feel them. Like,
that's right.
You get a, you know, everything that you have just with your body alone. It's like your voice. If you were to yell, like, you know.
Yes.
It's the same thing. You get all of that emotion out of yourself.
And it's so beautiful. I mean, it's just,
no instrument needed. It's, you got
it. Well, that is your instrument.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And harmony, right? I mean, harmony just makes the hairs on my arms stand up.
You know, that's something I can't do.
Oh.
And anytime I try to harmonize with somebody, I end up just matching them. And that's, I think there's another natural talent that I don't have.
Well, it's, again, it's practice because we used to do that in the car.
Right. Yeah. Now, now I do that a lot. It's almost hard to sing melodies.
Yes.
Because I'll switch and I'll try to switch back and like stop doing that.
Yes.
You got to like,
I know.
You know, I'm singing alone. I can't just be singing.
One of the things that I've noticed with you, though, is you're able to harmonize with yourself.
Right.
Which is amazing. Like you go up the various notes within the song. You know, and I'm always amazed by that because I, again, don't have that ability.
Mm-hmm. You might have the ability, you just haven't practiced.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Another 45 years, maybe I'll get that.
There we go, Matt, and you could be absolutely.
Yeah, you got to start singing. Actually, my sister Shelby, that's a great point. She sings anywhere she's at. It's like almost to a fault, you know? She just like, but I love it. It's great. She sings at work. She sings in the grocery store, almost full volume. There's a song on in a gas station. She is, I guarantee, picking out like her drink and singing it all the way to where people are staring. They're like, what are you doing?
Yes.
But she's a great singer and like she's always practicing, you know?
I love that. I just love that.
Yeah, you got to work.
I remember going grocery shopping with my daughter when she was, you know, 5 years old or something, right? And just embarrassing her to tears practically because I would be in the grocery store pushing the cart. Singing to the music, right?
Yeah.
Harmonizing to the music.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Me too.
My daughter'd be like, Mom, please. You know, you're embarrassing me. Well, life goes on.
I have this this addiction to whistling, too. You know, I try to stop singing and humming at work. So I just find myself whistling like crazy. And one day I was just doing it so much. I was annoying myself. And I, you know, we're in a salon. Like everyone's just sitting there like listening to this whistling. You know, I just can't stop. And and I went over to Michael, the shop owner at Tangles. And I was like, man, I'm so sorry. I just cannot stop whistling. And he said to me, he said, that's okay. Have you been to US Bank? There's a girl there that whistles way more than you do. And he did not. I said, that's my sister, Shelby. He had no idea.
Oh,
he just was like, oh, you think you whistle a lot. You should hear this other girl.
Oh, that's
and it was my sister.
Funny.
I like knew immediately. Yeah, I was just like, oh, man.
When did you get involved with music, Matt?
So we're talking about our childhood. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, their story goes that I was in a bank with my dad.
3 or 4 years old.
And their banks back in the day used to have these check printing machines or something that would just chug out the checks in this rhythmic pattern.
Right.
And my dad was standing in line and I'm up against a wall just dancing my head off to the rhythm of the bank machines. And
that's hilarious.
So my parents were sort of musical. And so there was a piano in the house and a guitar in the house ever since I can remember. And my brother is 6 years older than me, and he brought a friend over one time. And his friend I guess was like 10 years old and had already started taking piano lessons, and played something that I'll never forget called the Boogie Woogie on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want to do that. And I was only, I guess, 5.
Wow.
And so I begged my mom to give me piano lessons. And so she went to a lady down the street that gave lessons. And the lady said, well, we'd like him to be at least 6 years old, which I still think is ridiculous. But so I waited.
But I think it has to do with how far your hands will stretch.
Well, even when I was a small kid, so even then my hands were just tiny. But
right.
So shortly before my 6th birthday, my mom signed me up for piano lessons, and the lady was very strict, disciplinarian, and my mom was also kind of a disciplinarian, and so she said, well, if I give you piano lessons, you have to practice every day for at least half an hour, you know, and that's a long time out for a 5 or 6 year old.
Oh my gosh.
I used to, you know, sneak into the kitchen. She set the little timer on, and I was smart enough to go in there and
set it for her
and run the timer back by like 10 minutes. So I didn't have to practice as long.
Yeah, totally.
But you know, somewhere I think, and I thought it was maybe the first week or two, like I remember crying, going, I don't want to do this anymore. And my mom said, I told you, you know, you had to do it. And so she forced me to commit.
Right.
And it was, I think only a matter of weeks before I just sort of started picking it up and started really liking it. I think I had my first recital maybe 6 months into that. And
really?
I played a song called Trumpet of the Swans, and I just got up and nailed it beautifully. I had no stage fright whatsoever.
Oh, you're kidding.
That came later.
As a kid. I know.
Yeah, I know. I was a young phenom.
You were 6 years old?
I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. One of my songs was The Entertainer by Scott Joplin on the piano. Mm. So I did that for 6 years, played the piano, and then when I got to be when I got to be 12, 13, I decided I wanted to be a rock star, and
Bruce Hornsby
wasn't around then, so I picked up guitar. I think my 8th grade graduation present was a guitar, and the only guy that taught guitar in town taught classical guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that wasn't exactly
the rock star, you know, lifestyle.
Yeah, that's what they're playing, you know.
And I played classical music as a pianist too, so mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly, you know,
wasn't foreign,
far out of my bailiwick.
Do you think you could still play the Boogie Woogie?
A little bit. Yeah, I still play piano once in a while.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm losing it though.
Yeah,
I really need a piano or at least a keyboard in my house.
That's absolutely.
It's on my list of things to do eventually.
Yeah. But,
so, did you ever become a rock star?
Well, yeah. Look at him now. Come on.
Yeah. You know,
Matt Stump.
Yeah.
A rock star.
I have never felt more like a rock star than I have playing with Teal lately, because. And in fact, I think I texted that to you on New Year's. I mm-hmm. said, you know, hey, thanks for playing with me. You make me feel like a rock star. And she really
does. Talented. So good.
So you learned guitar and...
I learned guitar. I learned classical. I eventually got an electric guitar, and I played in a high school garage band.
Mm-hmm.
We were called the Airflow Souls.
The who?
The Airflow Souls.
Airflow Souls?
That's better than ours.
It's a shoe, right?
It's better than our band.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, don't ask.
I'm not.
Yeah. And we never really went anywhere. There was a point in time that we were told that one of the local bars in town wanted to pick us up, but we really never had much of a set to play with it.
Right.
And then I got into college, and I kind of drifted back to acoustic guitar, and it's really always been my first love. And I still play a lot of classical music on a steel string, not a nylon string anymore. Mm-hmm. I played nylon string for many, many, many years, but I'm able to do it on a steel string and have it mm-hmm. be that's okay.
Nice. Clean as nice. Steel, yeah.
That's nice. Steel strings are really hard for me because they hurt.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, you have to build up the calluses.
You have to commit to the notes and everything so much, you know. You have to, so different. You can kind of flow with nylon, I feel like, and it'll sound, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's very forgiving, nylon is.
Yeah, you have to really, like,
See, I like things that are forgiving.
Yeah. I know.
I like to be able to kind of slide.
But the thing with nylon, though, is it's when you go from steel back to nylon, it's like playing an elephant because the neck is so much wider.
Right.
And it's a flat neck instead of a curved neck.
And, and they'll move and slide around, you know, while you're... Yeah, it's a weird transition.
Yeah.
So Sarah McLachlan was your... Basically was one of your...
That's what we learned on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's the kind of music that you like to do?
Oh, I mean,
or
of course
do you
I
have
still love
favorites
her.
Or, you know?
I like a lot. It is so much easier to think of things I don't like, and it's probably new country, you know, a lot of that. Mm-hmm. With the rap and the country situation.
But well, rap, I'm just...
I can do that if there's not also country in it.
Yeah.
You mix the two. And wait, just make up your mind. I don't know.
Wait a minute. I'm not even sure what that would sound like.
I like a lot of bluegrass and stuff.
See, I'm more of a country punk,
folk.
You know, kind of.
Yeah, punk. I started on punk, actually. Like, that was... the reason I can hit any high notes or sing loud, that was... I had a little chick punk band when I was in high school, too. And we belted, you know. It was... We were so punk rock, so.
That's so fun.
Yeah,
That's
it just gives really you a fun. Cool, a really wide range, I think. If you are, you know, you start on Sarah McLachlan, you make your way to, you know, Distillers or whatever, and come back down and play folk, you know, sing folk. You have to try so many different things. There was a country period in there that was crucial to everything I can sing right now, because I went into that because it was so hard to sing.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a weird, it was so hard for me to sing it. I never sang country. So, you know, I think it's
because
important to listen
to
everything.
Because the styles, each, they kind of use different parts of your voice muscle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like picking that apart, you know?
So
yeah.
One of the great things for me about working with Teal is her taste in music and mine match really well. So everything she's thrown at me, and also, you know, she's younger, so she's got her pulse on a lot of the newer music.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some people in town that only play, you know, music from the 70s. I think most of the bands around town, that's all they do.
And really?
Like a classic rock.
Rock.
Or, you know, whatever 60s, genre 70s. It is, usually people stick to that.
And so being cognizant of that, I don't want to do that because... You know, it's already been done. And so when I met Teal, I said, you know, let's just come up with whatever, you know, new music you want. And so that's pretty much what we've done.
Oh, yeah.
We're building a set list of tunes that, you know, from this millennium, which has been nice.
But even, I mean, Matt hasn't heard any of the songs really that I bring up to play, and he'll learn them right then and there. Just kind of look it up and play it as he's hearing it for the first time. It's like
amazing.
So cool, you know?
Yeah.
By our second time running through the song, we're playing it out somewhere, you know?
Wow.
It's like, I can just text, I can hear a song on the radio and be like, oh my gosh, you know, it's really cool. You know, Wicked Games, I sent you that last night. He's like, just learned it. Just like, that was his response. Just learned it. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
And now we'll sing it. You know, it's like,
wow.
It's so cool. He's so good at it that it makes it really easy because, you know, I've got like a really wide range of some really cool songs. And, you know, but a lot of times people can't play them even if you, you know, I don't know. It's just so easy.
Well, like I told Tom, all you do to learn guitar is you practice every day for 2 to 3 hours a day. And after about 35 years.
35 years.
You start to catch on. And that's how I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
It hasn't always been
and
that way.
And you can quote him on that. If he's wrong, bring it up to him 35 years from now.
That's painful.
Yeah, and I'm thinking in another 35 years, I might actually have it down. So.
That would be great.
That's painful. But it is an amazing instrument, the guitar. I mean, I've heard stuff on a guitar that to me is just, oh my God, I just can't believe they're making those sounds come out of a guitar. They're beautiful, just intricate and wonderful. But the same thing is true with a voice. You know, I've heard people make sounds with their voices that is like, oh my God, how
absolutely
did you
unreal.
Do that?
Right.
You know?
Bobby McFerrin, I still wonder how he does that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, be happy guy. He's
come
up with some interesting sounds.
Yeah. So are you playing around town?
Well, right now we're sort of in the development stage. Mm-hmm. We played the open mic. We played at the Brian Scott Gallery doing their brown bag lunch a couple times. In fact, I got that going on next mm-hmm. week.
Great.
Spencer Reynolds, we played it.
Oh yeah, we played at the Art Walk for Spencer, and we played that same day. That was an interesting mm-hmm. day. We played at Dana's shop,
Wildwood. Yeah.
Wildwood. Mm-hmm. So that was like a six-hour set for me.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe 5 hours.
But that's a lot.
But it was fun. I had a great time.
Are there a lot of opportunities locally?
There are. This town is amazing. I think how they support artists. Certainly, I've played with Steve Harrington over at Kun Tai, and I'm looking at hopefully having an opportunity to play there. Teal's talked to the guy at Misty Mountain. I have too.
Mm-hmm.
So we might play
right across the hall,
right?
In our backyard here. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, definitely restaurants and little, small spaces. Everything we play, it's not get up and dance. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like, we don't play anything like that. It's just nice. Everything's really pleasant to hear. I don't think that we have anything that, it's all really smooth, easy for background music of a restaurant mm-hmm. or, if you just want to come have a drink and just, chill out, mm-hmm. Play a lot of, Heartbreak and Minor Key. all the goods.
Yeah. Always accompanied by.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Drink up.
Kind of tunes.
They'll really bring you down. So. But they're beautiful.
Some
it's
of those
beautiful.
Songs are just, they're just so gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's another one of the things that I love about this town is that it is so supportive of the artists here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's so many artists here too. I remember one time I was at the Pine Cone. This was several years ago, and
I don't think the Pine Cone exists anymore.
No, it's unfortunately.
It's something else now. Yeah.
It's nothing actually. Yeah. It's just somebody's house.
Oh, okay.
But I was sitting in the Pine Cone, and there was a local band playing, and I looked around the room, and there's another guitarist that's probably better than me. There's another guitarist. There's a drummer. There was half the room at least was filled with fellow musicians. And if you're not a musician, you're probably another artist of some sort. There's just so much talent in this town. It's humbling. It really is.
And really encouraging.
And encouraging,
And because if you've got that many artists around you, those are people that you can learn from, first of all, But also, it's like there's just a feeling of, this is good. This is what we do. We make art. Yeah. We make music.
I like that's coming up a lot. I think in Brookings, I feel like it's on the way up. People are starting to appreciate art a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I paint watercolors. I had heard, all anyone would say was like, if you paint the ocean, I would just love that. If you'd paint the beach or, mm-hmm. But now people are really opening up to like different styles mm-hmm. and, whatever. People are just really, it's kind of coming up, I think, really hugely. And I think that's really cool to see that we're getting there's always been artists and everything, but now it's becoming more widely appreciated, I feel like, for whatever art form you're doing.
I think
doing,
we're kind of moving from Brookings as a whole is sort mm-hmm. of moving from being primarily a logging and fishing town.
Getting really creative, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who are, using this town as the place that they retire. And, mm-hmm. That's, they are very appreciative of all the arts, mm-hmm. all the different art forms. So believe it or not, we're just about out of time. This happens every single interview that I do. We get to this point and
that's
like,
so weird.
How did an hour go by? Yeah. How is that even possible? So is there somewhere that people can find out where and when you're playing out?
Being a tech guy, you'd think I would have had a website up by now. The only thing that I have right now is Facebook.
Okay.
I might make our own Facebook page at some point.
That'd be great.
At least so that we can start advertising
that's
that
possible,
way.
That's possible, yeah.
Some That'd sort be of great event. Because I'm seriously, I can't be the only one who just fell in love with you guys.
I kind of wish that there was more. Everyone says that I talk to anyways. Anytime mm-hmm. we go anywhere, everyone's like, mm-hmm. I didn't even know. And about everyone, we'll come in yes. any bar and everyone's like, oh man, yes. I didn't know.
Right.
Because just that place will post their what they're right. doing, but I wish that there was more of a more widely used events.
We do have the radio
page.
Station.
Yeah,
as
Bruce
well.
Bruce does.
So right. Everyone would have to get on the same page. Brookville, most people know right. that. We'd have to have there's all kinds of musicians of the West. Yes. Musicians Connection. There's too many. There needs to be one big
let's go
radio.
Yes.
Goose Bruce.
Well, you can Goose Bruce.
All right, I will.
I'm not sure you'd appreciate
it. Both
I'll
for showing up.
I don't know.
This was absolutely wonderful, and I it was great talking to you guys.
Well, thank you for having us, Candace. Yeah. This is great.
And thank you for tuning in. KCIW is completely volunteer-run community radio station. We have a great family of people here, so if you're looking for a way to get involved in your community, consider going to our website and checking us out. KCIW.org. We have a list of skill sets we need, and if any one of them sounds like you, fill out a volunteer application form, and our volunteer coordinator, Shannon Stansbury, will get in touch with you. You'll be glad you did. And while you're there, consider becoming a member for $25 a year and maybe sponsoring a show. Your donations, large and small, keep us on the air and allow us to bring you quality programming like this. Our website again is KCIW.org. This is our community, and I'm Candace Michelle.